Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it is, I know exactly why Steve chose that song, because it talks about doing good deeds and whatnot, but boy, that chorus, life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I might croak. No, that's not what it says. That's not what it says, but it could happen. You never know. No, it's not morbid. It's simply facing the reality. We don't know how long we have, but I appreciated that. It was just especially interesting, this moment. As I said, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we have a group here together today. It is, you know, it's one of those things where we try to do our best. You know, we're not going to get this perfect. We're not going to, you know exactly what to do. But as Ted said, the birds were singing this morning. You know, we had to get up and join them in song and to sort of add to the beauty that is all around us and as much as we can. So I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad that we have this topic to talk about. I want to take you back to that scene, which I really appreciate the kids helping us sort of visualize. And take a look here at what caught Jesus' attention. I'm going to read it again. He saw a poor widow. Again, the first part was many people were coming. It says the wealthy were coming. The wealthy were coming and they were giving their gifts. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." Now, the first thing that strikes me, and really the thing that I want to focus on, is just those few words there. The you know, what is it? One, two, three, four. What? More than all of them. More than all of them. Five words. All right. She gave more than all of them. And when you think about that, Jesus says she gave more. And the first thought that I have is, how could she possibly have given more? What could you mean by that, you know, she gave more? She had to have given one of the least of all the people who came and contributed, especially if she was in a group of people that were wealthy and she was trailing behind those who had a lot to give monetarily. The amount that she gave certainly wasn't more. So I want to look at this question. How could he possibly be saying that she gave more? And it really starts to open up the idea of what matters to God, what matters to Jesus as he's looking at people, as he's interacting with people. There are things that Jesus points out, or Jesus says, people will be talking about this for as long as my disciples are gathering my name. Her story will be told. That was the story of the woman who came and with tears wiped his feet with her hair. And he said, her story is going to be told wherever, you know, my disciples gather. And people sitting there were thinking to themselves, there are people who have done bigger things for you, Jesus. They've held, you know, dinners in your honor. They've invited you to places. There are even some people who are, you know, supporting you out of their means. He says, this woman is going to be remembered. And that's kind of the same situation here. He looks at what she does, and he says, she gave more. Now, I find it interesting that you could even notice it just visually right here. If she put in two copper coins, there's no way Jesus could have seen that she had done that. It's not like she took the two copper coins, held them out, and said, everybody see this? Look hard. You know, look closely. You know, it's two copper coins I'm dropping into here. Especially with a vessel like this. Like I said, it was like an upside-down trumpet. They called them trumpets because there were a narrow gap that you put it in. So she's coming up there, she's putting it in, she's walking away. Anybody would have missed that. But Jesus knows more than the average Joe, knows more than you or me if we were standing there observing all this. He knew what was going on in the heart. And so that's what we're going to look at today. She gave more. And the first thing I want to look at is that this is an example of what is truly great in the kingdom. How do we understand this to be giving more? Well, you have to change your understanding of what is great in God's kingdom. Jesus has already taught his disciples about this a few chapters before. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You want an example of greatness? Let me show you an example of humility. If you want to be the top, I'm going to show you how your heart needs to turn from the desire to be the greatest. And that's how you become the greatest. It's bizarre. It's counterintuitive. He's doing this on purpose. He's trying to teach us what really matters in his kingdom. What did she do that showed greatness? Well, first of all, when she gave, she didn't give like the ones who were proud of their gift. We know that, for instance, the Pharisees, Jesus mentions this in the Sermon on the Mount, they'll give their gifts and make sure the trumpets are sounding so everybody knows that they gave something great. They'll give their gifts and make sure everybody sees it. She gives it humbly. It's not showy. It's not pretentious. So that's the first part. She may have a heart that's exactly like what Jesus describes in Matthew chapter 18. Somebody who is humble, who is like a child, which in my mind, that could mean many things, you know. And sometimes children are not very humble, right? But when children are humble, it's because they're ready to learn. They're ready to be led. They're ready to be guided by their parents. And they're not full of pride or full of something that would get in the way of them being acceptable to God. And so she was in that category. She was humble, not showy. Also, she gave all that she had. Now, I find it interesting, and I didn't notice this before I was looking at a commentary. The guy made the point, and I said, okay, well, that's a pretty good point. You notice that she doesn't just give, you know, we talk about the widow's mite, right? As if it's singular. But it specifically says she put in 2 copper coins, which means she could have put in 1. She could have held back 1. She could have only given half of what she had, but Jesus knew she gave all that she had. And that sparks his interest. That causes him to look. I almost want to know what Jesus saw when he saw human hearts. Don't you wish you could know that? Like the person changed color or something? Like what was it that he saw? But he could see it. This is a woman giving all. And she's doing it with sleight of hand. You know, she's doing it with, you know, just a wave of the hand. She gave all that she had. She could have given half, but she gave it all. And then, of course, this is humble generosity. When they were giving at the temple, there are some things that were required, some things that they sort of paid as a tax, but other things you gave simply as a goodwill, a free will, goodwill offering. And that's the kind of gift that's being offered here. This is humble generosity. And it caught Jesus' attention. This is what he stopped everybody and pointed to and made sure they saw. Greatness, fame, and renown are very different in the kingdom of God. Very different. I played a song that my son hadn't heard before. It was a song by Peter Gabriel called Big Time. You guys remember this song? And he's just bragging about how he is big time. I use big words. I go to big places. I go to the big church. And I kneel to the big God. All right? So I got it all together. And you look at that, and he says, and my heaven will be a big heaven, and I'll walk through the front door. You know, meanwhile, he says he uses big words, but there's only like 2 or 3 places where he uses more than 1-syllable words in that whole song. Somebody else pointed that out. I thought that was fantastic. Big time, big church, big heaven. And I have a feeling when we get to the big heaven, because there is only one heaven, big, small, it's going to be one heaven. When we get there, I think fame and renown and greatness are going to be surprisingly different. This is going to be different. The acts that are remembered as great acts are probably not going to be the things that we had read about in the newspaper. Even today, even this week, the ways that we turn around and help others may be great acts in the kingdom. When you find out about a neighbor who can't get to the grocery store, or they tried and the shelves were empty, and so they got to try again, but they don't want to go out, but you take a trip to the grocery store, it might be the 2 copper pennies. It might get the attention of the Son of God. It could. And if we all just did those small things, it's pleasing to God.
It's probably what's going to be remembered as great things in the kingdom of heaven. I think we're going to be very surprised. She put in more.
How could that possibly be? Well, the second is that our giving, as is described over and over again in the New Testament, is based on the heart and not on the amount. She lives, she exemplifies Paul's idea that he gives us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For if the readiness is there, that is the readiness to give, to contribute, to be generous, if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. What does he mean by that? He says, look, you give what you can. You give what you're able to do. You know, we sang the song, Count Your Blessings. Well, we count our blessings and we give out of our blessings. But you don't go comparing your giving to somebody else's giving based on their blessings, not on your blessings. Paul says, you give as you can give. And if somebody else outgives you, well, that's fine. But you're giving according to you, according to your situation, the way God has blessed you. I love that that's just wonderfully fair in the kingdom. It's fair. Now, she gave all. And Jesus doesn't say, so make sure all of you give all of your money every time too. Because we're going to get into how, you know, that might be a little bit tricky. But the key here is what's going on in the heart. It's not about the amount and comparing my amount to somebody else's. It's more about how can I please God? How can I do something that is loving and generous out of my heart? In chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about this. Each one, each person, must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. We were trying to get that out of the kids, right? Some of you try to give reluctantly. Yeah. Sometimes it works. But not under compulsion, not feeling like I have to, and I'd rather not, but I have to. For God loves a cheerful giver. She's a cheerful giver. Now, I think she's cheerful. I don't know. Maybe she wasn't. Maybe she was sad. Maybe she was forlorn. I don't know. But I do know that she gave freely. And Jesus pointed out that she gave more than others. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So our giving is manyfold. Obviously, there's times, like we just had in our service, where we're going to give funds to help the church. But there are so many ways. And Paul says, God's going to equip you to carry out exactly what he has in mind for you to give. And he's going to make it happen. He's going to make all grace abound to you so that you'll have all sufficiency. So maybe she had that in her mind, that God will provide. And that's my last point. She put in more by placing her life in God's hands. She was literally placing her life in God's hands. Because this is the question that I've come to before, and I wrote a bulletin article about it a few years ago. What was her plan for tomorrow? Do you ever think about that? The widow makes a wonderful offering, and she gives the 2 copper pennies. She could have given one, but she gave both, and it was all she had to live on. And Jesus commends her for it. But what does she do tomorrow? And there's lots of things that pop up in my mind. Jesus doesn't say, so this poor widow is probably, you know, not going to make it through the week. So, you know, he doesn't say that. And he doesn't, you know, feel like he needs to, you know, run and help her. Maybe he does. I don't know. They had money available for the poor. And she was in that category. So what was her plan for tomorrow? There are some even sitting here who would say, yeah, you got a plan for tomorrow. This was very unwise what she did. Reckless what she did. And you'd be right. That's true. She's reckless. She has a faith in God that's a little bit too much almost. Too many. She has this faith about her that is leading her to give rather recklessly. But here's an interesting idea. This is, I'm going to put a scripture in here, but it is not Psalm 68, even though it says it is. This is from earlier in the Gospel of Mark. And I want to preface it by saying this. Jesus talks about
how we should take care of people in this widow's condition often. And one of the things he says is that the Pharisees had a bizarre way of infringing on the rights of some of these people. He says one example would be that children are supposed to take care of their parents. And so if this widow has children, then one of the safety nets that she would have is that they would take care of her. But they had this system in place where a person could take money and they would say, okay, I'm giving this money to the temple and that covers my obligation to take care of my parents. So I don't have to worry about them coming into my house. I gave it the office, all right? That's done. So don't come to me because I've already given. And he describes this. So this is the Gospel of Mark. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. So it may be that Jesus knows that in that crowd, when he's giving this teaching, and maybe he gave it more than once, there was somebody who heard and they said, ooh, you know, that hits me because my mother, I know she only has 2 coins left. And knowing her, as reckless as she is, she's probably going to give those to the temple. I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to take her into my home. My throat is dry. I am not showing any symptoms. I saw poor Michael cough up here too. I'm like, ah, great. They're going to think that. But it may be that Jesus knows that's the plan. That somebody would have got it. That somebody finally would have heard what he had to say and they would have said, I'm going to take care of my mother. I'm going to take care of this widow who has nobody else. So maybe that's the plan. I don't know. I do know that when Jesus wanted to pay his taxes, he had Peter catch a fish. And the fish had a coin in it. And he said, well, use that to pay our tax. Yeah, that's enough for both of our tax. It will be. And so there's a sense in which Jesus is saying, I know how she's going to be taken care of because she's calling upon the one who takes care of the widow. This is Psalm 68. Sing to the God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God will take care of those who are putting all of their trust in him. And even this week, this is a fact that we have to remember. God is taking care of those who are putting their trust in him. And he's maybe using you. Maybe that's what he's going to do this week, is to spark you to help somebody else who is in desperate need. What was her plan for tomorrow? We at least know that she was going to rely on the one thing, the one pillar in her life that is truly stable. And so this morning we learn from her. We learn that she gave more. She didn't give more in terms of money. That's a superficial way of looking at the world. She gave more in lots of other ways that maybe we don't count on as much. She is great in the kingdom of heaven. She gave based on the heart, not on the amount. She put in more by placing her life in God's hands. And so I think the lesson we should learn is come to him, to one, the one who wants to offer you so much, who has given you so much, and put your trust in him. Live as if you truly did trust him with your life. Be generous, be giving. Put yourself out there for others in a way that says, I'm recklessly trusting that he's going to see me through. This morning, we always want to offer the opportunity for you to respond. And maybe recent events have caused you to say, not only am I going to come, I'm coming forward. I want to talk to God. I want to come before my brothers and sisters. I need prayers. I need his help. That's what we're here for. So if you need to come forward, then come as we stand and sing.